Hello, my name's Jo Maitland, editor of searchcloudcomputing.com, and you are tuned in to our podcast on cloud licensing. With me on the phone is Joseph Ferran, who is director of IT at FSW, which is the non-profit social services agency in Connecticut. In his role as director, Joe is responsible for working with the executive team and line management to come up with the most cost-efficient uses of technology. He serves on FSW's leadership committee, where he advises and collaborates with company management on both technology and business decisions. Joseph's following the cloud computing market with a particular sharp eye on where it can save costs for his organization. He's a regular guest contributor to Search Cloud Computing. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much.
So let's dive straight into the juicy parts of this topic. Lots of people are eager to figure out how cloud computing plays out really from an operational perspective and a cost perspective. And one of the big issues is what happens on the licensing front. So let's say I've decided I want to dip my toe into the cloud and I spin up my application on 10 servers, which is a fairly small fry in cloud terms. Then my app becomes an overnight success, and given that how the cloud works, will scale to meet that demand. So let's say it scales up to 300 servers. What happens on the licensing front? Like, what does that actually mean from a licensing perspective?
That actually is a great question, and it's a multi-part answer. The first thing to answer on that is whether or not you're using a completely free and open source stack, the traditional LAMP stack, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, Perl, and associated technologies like Ruby on Rails, Tomcat, in which case you are completely free and clear on the license. But if you're using a commercial license, such as Oracle, Microsoft SQL, or any of the other proprietary licenses that are closed source, you've got to license those in exactly the same manner as you would license an in-house or co-located deployment.
And can you retroactively, let's say that scaling scenario happens, can you retroactively go back to Oracle, or is it just messy? Like, say, oh, my application scaled up. Now I need to pay you guys. What happens?
In practice, that's exactly what happened. It's very messy because right now the licensing models, with a few exceptions, and I will say Microsoft being one of them, have all remained sort of steadfast in their late 90s, early 2000 licensing models. They haven't really adapted to dynamically expanding clouds, where if we use your example of 10 to 300 and we assume it's seasonal, like retail, it can actually go back down to 10 after your busy season is over. That's completely unheard of in the licensing world. So you have to go back and you have to license all 300 of those dynamically growing servers, even though you only need them for a short period of time.
Right, yeah, very, very complicated. So, and I'm assuming the big enterprise software companies are not racing to fix this licensing issue because they obviously don't want to cannibalize their existing on-premise.
That's exactly correct. Oracle has got some guidelines published out there. Microsoft's advancements towards the cloud have been done out of market necessity. They're steering people, however, to their cloud, the Azure platform. If you are using Amazon or Rackspace, you're still licensing it just like you would in-house. That
right.
Includes operating system, applications, everything, middleware, you name it.
Okay. Now, what happens if I have an application stack that's closed, that maybe uses some closed source and open source code, example, Linux server accessing an Oracle database, serving information on Apache, Tomcat?
Anything that's closed source has to be licensed in accordance with the terms of the vendor's standard agreements or any custom agreements that you sign with the vendor. For example, Oracle, if you're licensed for 10 servers and you grow to 300, you've got to then go back to Oracle and say, hey, I need 290 new licenses. You don't have to worry about that with your Apache software. You don't have to worry about that with the MySQL or any of the other open source that you may have integrated in there. But with the closed source, you've got to work with it.
Okay. And so from a governance and compliance perspective, this all sounds like it's a bit of a recipe for a disaster. So if I decide, okay, I don't want, you know, my application to have this dynamic scaling, I'm going to put some kind of lockdown on this for compliance and regulation. And then you need to add one more, you know, let's say it's desktop virtualization or something. You need to add an additional user and another server, and then the application, you know, the server won't spin up. Does the whole thing come grinding to a halt? Like, what happens in that scenario? Is there a...
That depends on the product. Some products will lock you out. If you hit, if you've got 100 user license for an application, user 101 is stuck at the gate, unable to get in. Others will let you in just fine, but you're on the honor system to be compliant. And still others will let you in and report back to the vendor that, hey, guess what? So-and-so has just exceeded the license capacity. Have your sales team give them a call.
Okay, and then what about if I internally, if I have, you know, if I'm using like some, if I'm using a, you know, 16-core machine and I migrate to the cloud and I find out that I only need 4 cores, but I'm licensed to 16, is Oracle going to give me a refund?
No, I don't think anybody's going to give a refund in this market, and especially not in this economy.
Right, okay. And then how about just any sort of, for people tuned in, general rules and guidelines, cautionary notes from you on cloud licensing considerations? What do you think?
I can't stress enough the importance of accurate management tools. One of the best ways, if you've decided to commit to the cloud and you have a concern about your management tool spinning up too many servers and exceeding your license, then you should have the tools in place to stop it from spinning up that many servers or stop it from using that many cores or limit X number of users. Or alternately, if you don't mind going back and paying for those expanded resources, an alert sent to the appropriate department that says, cloud environment, whatever, just increased size by X.
Right.
To trigger a response within the organization that gets the folks who handle licensing to purchase the additional licenses.
Are those tools out there?
There are a number of tools out there that will send you email alerts based on the number of machines, number of resources, the amount of resources used. A lot of management tools that come with applications do track licenses. One of the best ones I ever saw was Citrix. Their ability to do chargeback for, you know, back in the ASP days when it was, you know, application service providers putting everything from Office to QuickBooks to to major ERP packages in their data centers and offering them via ICA or, you know, competing products, Citrix could bill out at, you know, X cents per processor cycle, X dollars per license, and it was really granular and wonderfully fine-tuned. And there are other applications that have since taken that step into the cloud and begun reporting back detailed information for chargebacks and other IT budget expenses.
Right. So in other words, if you've got an RFI out there, this is a key question to have on your RFI.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're able to track as much information, both system information and license information, as possible from whatever product you eventually go with.
Right. Great. Any other final words, Joe?
just to, you know, be very careful about the terms on the licenses, because there are still products out there that do not support the cloud whatsoever, that you simply can't put in the cloud because the vendor will not allow it.
Okay. Well, on that note, for anybody that wants to dig into this topic in more detail, Joe actually recently wrote a longer article on this subject on the site, which we're promoting. So keep an eye on the homepage of searchcloudcomputing.com, and you'll find the rest of his story there. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for being with us, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.